Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Paul and Silas found in jail, had no money for to go their way. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Paul and Silas began to shout.
Call her a rebel with a cause. The Reverend Paul E. Murray was a legal scholar and faith leader, a pivotal figure in the civil rights movement you've probably never heard of. The 100-voice World House Choir will honor her legacy and song with a series of performances of Sincerely Yours, Paul E. Murray, in Yellow Springs and Cincinnati. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about Reverend Murray's legacy are composer Steve Malloy and World House Choir founder and artistic director Catherine Roma. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve, Paul E. Murray was such a trailblazer in so many ways. Why do you think she's not more widely known, and how did you learn about her?
To be honest, one, she was a Black female in a time when women weren't listened to and definitely Blacks weren't listened to. And plus, she was a lesbian and who had some gender dysphoria issues. At times she thought that maybe she was born a man, but, you know, that her testicles were hidden. And things like this we didn't really speak about, say, in the 30s and 40s. And it seems like anybody who seems to be different than, say, a cis white male gets shoved under the rug when it comes to history.
Catherine, how did you learn about Paul E. Murray and her story?
Well, I learned actually from Steve and Jane, the dramaturg. I really didn't know about her either. And so I went and looked at the wonderful documentary, My Name is Paul E. Murray. And I thought, oh my gosh, I asked the same question as you to begin. How come I didn't know? How come we don't know? And so I started investigating and reading and talking to people. And so I'm really sold on telling her story.
Steve, she was in the news earlier this year when the National Park Service removed its webpage dedicated to her. Do you think that ended up raising awareness about Paul E. Murray and her many achievements?
I believe it did. Pardon me. When we start publicly saying that we're going to erase people, that just brings up a curiosity of why are they being erased? Why are these things being taken down? Why are names being taken off of ships? I hate the way that this came about, but I'm glad that it actually shed a light on her and her history and what she has done. I wouldn't be here probably talking to you or possibly have gone to get a master's in music if it wasn't for what her law paper did and that she wrote in law school.
We're talking about the legacy of the Reverend Paul E. Murray and a new choral performance that tells her story. I do want to talk about some of those achievements. An honor graduate from Howard University, and her legal theory was the basis of the argument that Thurgood Marshall used in Brown versus Board of Education.
Now, Polly is the only woman in her law school class and speaks up during the discussion about fighting Jim Crow.
I question whether race should have been the main argument, since separate but equal is never equal. And members in the class, including Thurgood Marshall, led the class in ruckus laughter.
But Polly's gut told her that she was right.
Polly had a thought. Not a little bitty thought, but a thought so rad.
The ankle never taught.
Separate has never built laws that are equal.
So, Steve, did Paul E. Murray get any credit for that legal theory that was so important to this huge decision and argument?
No, not at all. She made a bet with her professor, Spotswood Robinson, that Paul, Plessy versus Ferguson would be overturned within 10 years. And then they go And, you know, to fight this case, they use her papers as the basis of their argument. And then she finds out afterwards that, oh, you used my paper to for your argument for Brown versus Board of Education. That's how she found out that that, you know, it was basically her argument that won the case, but she was never given credit.
I guess she won the bet, though,
Yes, she did.
huh? $10.
$10. Wow. So I don't know. It seems like
Back
it.
then, that was a lot of money.
Well, okay. If you put it that way. Well, she was at the forefront of so many protests. Kathy, can you tell us about how she was arrested for refusing to move to the back of a bus?
Well, yes. In 1940, she was on a bus in Virginia and refused to move to the back of the bus when asked, and was arrested and jailed as she was challenging Jim Crow laws 15 years before Rosa Parks. So that gave her the NAACP didn't think there was enough, I guess, quality evidence, or you know how they weigh something, whether they're going to go forward with it as a cause, and so they decided not to. But they did. She did meet with the NAACP at that time, and just suffered the consequences by having to by getting arrested and going to jail and paying a fine.
Steve, you mentioned her struggles with gender dysphoria, and your composition addresses that. Talk to us a little bit about how.
So it kind of the piece that you're discussing, which is Off the Rails, talks about one of the many times, well, I won't say many, but a few times that she was put into a mental institution. The one in particular was when she found out that a woman she had been dating and riding the rails with, Peg Holmes, was getting married to a man. And in the piece, it discusses things like, you know, if I had been a man, you would have married me. And she just struggled with her identity and her sexuality and her sex. And it's a one.
Sorry, you broke up there a little bit,
Get my
Steve.
horse throat.
Oh, yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about your process? I mean, how you incorporated kind of the narrative storytelling of Pauli Murray's story with these, you know, powerful choral performances.
Oh, sure. I usually, in writing pieces like this, I think about the time in which these instances happened, these occurrences or these different spots in Pauli's life. One of the first movements, My Boy Girl, is sung by her aunt, Aunt Pauline, for whom she was named. And, you know, that was actually what she did call her, was My Boy Girl. And then we, and that's a ragtime type of style because that would have been, say, around the 19 teens. And then you would have a piece like Riding the Rails, which is very much kind of country train music. It sounds like the roaring of a train, and it has these different choral lines that come upon each other one by one until you get this kind of this churning of the, you know, a steam train going. You heard a little bit of Hold On, which is, you know, an African American spiritual, just talking about keeping your eyes on the prize, you know, keep doing the struggle, hold on. Let's see, what was the other one you just played? That was Pauli versus Brown versus Board of Education, which I kind of wrote in a close harmony big band style, because that would have been probably around, you know, say the late 40s, the early 50s. And so the piece has various musical styles that span from the turn of the century, well, the turn of the 19th century up to the current moment.
And Kathy, the performance points out that Polly finally got a job at a New York law firm, and she there met the great love of her life, but it was a love they had to keep secret because of the times, right?
Right, absolutely. It was, that was what we're dealing with, the 60s and the 70s. People weren't really talking about things, but, her life, living at the crossroads of race and sex and gender identity, was intersectional before the word even existed. So she's dealing with a lot of things on this personal level, struggles with gender dysphoria, and then at the same time she says, I want to liberate myself, but I want to bring a lot of people with me, and I want to I'm so her accomplishments in terms of groundbreaking contributions, let's say, to civil rights law that reshaped our nation. She wanted to transform the lives of African Americans, of women, and ultimately all of us. And that's why this is such an exciting piece. Steve wrote a piece earlier that we did about the life of Bayard Rustin, and Bayard said, we need some, what did he say? He said some
Angelic
angelic
troublemaker.
troublemakers. And, John Lewis said, make good trouble. And so this was part of what the life of Pauli Murray was like.
And you talked about that intersectionality. I mean, she coined the term Jane Crow, right, Kathy? There and Steve, I mean, that kind of points at that before people were even talking in those terms.
Right. Well, she was a co-founder of NOW, the National Organization of Women, in 1966. And so she really cared about that. She was very close with Eleanor Roosevelt. She had written a letter to Franklin, kind of complaining about his positions on race. And actually, Eleanor read it and was the person who responded back to her. And so they started a relationship. There's a very powerful book, Firebrand and the First Lady, about their relationship. It wasn't just a one-letter exchange. There was a whole series of years that they were in each other's lives and getting to know each other and talking about important things that were going on at the time.
And even, she even visited Eleanor at the White House.
It's remarkable. Well, after the death of her partner, Pauli Murray became the first perceived Black woman ordained as an Episcopal priest.
Monday, September 3rd, 1973. I experienced the mystery of an electrical current as I knelt and felt R's coffin the morning of her funeral when I said my last goodbye. It was as if we were not separated in death, and the mandate was for me to follow the cross as she had done. Propelled by Renee's death, Polly resigned her position as professor at Brandeis University to enter the ministry. Renee left a life insurance policy, a gift that made this calling possible.
My 3 years in seminary, it was far more rigorous than anything I ever experienced in law school.
At the time Polly entered seminary, the Episcopal Church didn't allow women to be ordained. It was the mid-1970s, and women seminarians were at the center of a bitter controversy and targets of blatant hostility. But that didn't stop Polly. She was up for a new fight.
Steve, talk about the significance of that fight, that chapter of her life, and the use of the terminology perceived woman, which is how I see it referred to all the time.
It's funny, I've had church jobs all of my life, and my first time actually having a church job, I was 16 years old in the Episcopal Church as a keyboardist and choir director. But back during that time when she was going to seminary, women in the priesthood was not a thing. It was kind of like, what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to upset the apple cart? You're a woman. This is not your calling. Women are not called to do this. Where they are called to love and obey their men. But yet she felt this calling that she was to preach to others. Actually, it's kind of what she's been doing all of her life, was going out and bringing people to the fold, bringing people to equality. And belonging. And that's when she went into seminary, that was kind of saying to these people, I can do this just as well as you can. And you know, this whole perceived woman thing, it's like, no, it's a, how about perceived human being? Sorry.
Were you going to... I just want to say that, you know, she was an Episcopalian throughout her life. It wasn't something like, oh, I'm just going to turn to this.
Yes.
She was born and raised in the church, in the Episcopalian church. And so it wasn't new. Probably she had even thought about it prior to her making that big decision.
Yeah.
Do you think the use of the term perceived woman is in any way an attempt to kind of honor the gender dysphoria that she struggled with? Or do you think that's not part of it, Steve?
You know, I really don't know. That I hadn't really thought about deeply.
Yeah.
But I could see that, you know, that would be, you know, a term that she would use to say, you know, I am perceived as a woman, but I am so many other things.
Yeah. Steve, why was it so important to you to draw attention to the Reverend Murray's life and story through this beautiful 10-movement choral performance?
So I've been a singer in the queer choral movement now for 40 years of my life. And when I first started out, we were singing pieces about Matthew Shepard. We were singing pieces about Harvey Milk. And I just came to the point of, when am I going to sing a piece about a person who looks like me, who comes from my background? And these pieces weren't being written. So it came to the point that if I were going to perform these pieces, I would have to write them. And so I started with Bayard Rustin, which has been performed all over the United States. And Pauli Murray actually was brought to me from Jane. I had never heard of Pauli Murray. And as Kathy said, I went and watched the documentary, My Life, My Name is Pauli Murray, and was just, had no idea of the history that she had done for me and others like me and for women and for Blacks, and bringing us into the fold of equity, access, and belonging. And these stories, I feel, need to be told. Especially now with so many different parts of history being erased or hidden, and Confederate statues being put back up into parks. And I'm going, why?
And
so
that
is why I wrote these pieces.
I appreciate that. So, Kathy, in just 30 seconds or so, why was it important to you to bring these performances to Yellow Springs and Cincinnati?
Well, the piece is wonderful. It's an incredible piece of music, and I wanted to tell her story. Like Steve, I wanted to get this out. You know, we've had symposiums. We had one on November 1st. There's going to be one in Cincinnati at 9:30 on Saturday, the 8th, coming up. There's a symposium at St. Andrews, as well as having these performances. So it's educating people to understand that this woman, Pauli Murray, lived, and she made things possible for all of us that we're not conscious of. So it's about education. It's about using music as a vehicle to communicate fabulous art, but also people's stories.
Well, I've been talking with composer Steve Malloy and World House Choir founder and artistic director Catherine Roma. Thank you both so much for your time today. World House Choir will perform Sincerely Yours, Pauli Murray, in Yellow Springs Friday, November 7th and Sunday, November 9th. The Cincinnati performance will be on Saturday, November 8th, with a symposium earlier that morning. You can find a link with details on our website, wvxu.org.
Poet, activist, writer, lawyer, teacher, rebel, friend, priest, and saint.
Pauli was the spark, collaborating to bring about change in America.
One person, this boy girl, laid the foundation of our continued work for social change and equity.
Pauli Murray's story is not a story that lives in the past. Hers is a story that continues today.
Say her name. Share her story.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.